are listening to Dovetails with Deborah, a show about encouragement as we empower you with tales and testimonies of many who share what has happened to them as the Holy Spirit rests on them like a dove. Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
Hi, this is Chef Yari from YariCooks.com, and you're listening to Dovetails with my favorite host, Deborah, on PJC Media.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
You are listening to Dovetails with Deborah, a show about encouragement as we empower you with tales and testimonies of many who share what has happened to them as the Holy Spirit rests on them like a dove.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to a brand new episode of Dovetails. Praise God, because the old has gone and the new has come. This is the year of new beginnings, a year of restoration, replenishment, and being refreshed. We have a wonderful lineup of guests for you to learn from, but make no mistake, for these guests are courageous as they share the most intimate details of their lives. How grateful I am, because each weekend I continue to learn and be amazed at what God is capable of when humanity welcomes Him into their lives. Oh, what God can do with a willing heart is simply remarkable. So if you have never encountered or heard about Jesus before, consider hanging out with us this sweet, sweet afternoon as we unpack the journey of my extraordinary guests in order to discover the truth together. And if it's your first time tuning in to Dovetails, I am your host, Deborah, founder of DCL Ministries, a ministry birthed from my pain, my tears, my divorce, and my healing when I surrendered, and that's the operative word, folks, surrendered to God's process. There is a misconception that time is the thing that heals all wounds, but time doesn't heal anything, folks. Time only tells. But it is only God who heals, only God who covers, and only God who loves mankind unconditionally. DCL Ministries is about allowing the God-breathed word to thoroughly equip mankind for every good work. So if you like what you hear and want to join the movement, log on to www.dclministries.com to receive the newsletter, become a guest on Dovetails, read the thought-provoking articles, Sunday devotionals, and learn all about the featured ministries on our very own Writer's Corner. And beginning in June, so excited about this, we will be doing a six-month series on divorce and separation with author Rachel Kitter, who is also a leader of divorce care. Just going through a divorce can be just daunting. Going through a divorce and having to separate your life and having to raise your children alone in the event that you have children, we just need some help. We need some fellowship and community with those that are going through the same thing. So we're going to be starting that series next month in June. And lastly, if you're looking for a good read, try out my new book titled The Women God Used. And if you are open to it, I'm just going to linger a moment longer so that you can hear an excerpt. Women are such fascinating creatures. And if you don't believe me, have a disagreement with one of them and then let me know how you make out. Yes, I agree. We can be difficult, emotional, argumentative, assertive, bossy, dominating. But to our credit, we are also cute, cuddly, adorable, submissive, beautiful, compassionate, nurturing, supportive, and hardworking. I guess in the end, to save time, we are as a species complicated. But please tell me, who isn't? The women God used are rarely seen baking apple pie or reading a story to their children before bed. No, the women God used were also clever, unconventional, strong-minded, and strategic. Today, these women would be described as the first you would pick to be on your board of advisors, but not the kind you want to meet in a dark alley after hours. These women are strong enough to drag you to the finish line, but the first to leave you if you are not pulling your weight. Yes, God handpicked complex and complicated women whose stories are not glamorous, with some of their methods being less than desirable. But they created new streams in the very dirty wasteland of sin. These biblical women forged a dynasty in biblical history and now grace the pages of the greatest story ever told to prove it. If you are not aware, these are the women God used. And this book is for all the women that have had to adjust to life, the women that had to grow into their shells and become leaders, risk takers, rebels, parents to unruly children, widows, single mothers, prostitutes, entrepreneurs, and anything else to survive in this world corroded with sin. This book will allow its readers to see a snapshot of women that didn't take no for an answer when the pitfalls of life tried to bury them into the ground. These women triumphed beyond comprehension, and despite sin crouching at their door, chose unconventional ways and made it anyway. Therefore, God didn't waste our time with highlighting women in the Word that were content with church as usual. No, these were women who cried for a night and due to time constraints had to wake up and press on toward the goal to reach the finish line. Horrible, you say? I think not. For some of them might have been annoying, but they were also anointed. And many women in the Bible are complicated, but they were also called. And many might have appeared scandalous, and yet God could trust them with trouble. This book will walk its readers through the lives of unique women that were called into a ministry, a position in history that no believer or non-believer can ignore or ever forget. I challenge the position that these women were out of place or horrible. On the contrary, they were the Sigourney Weavers of their time, the G.I. Janes of the Bible, and the movers and shakers in their hometown. These women feared the Lord and through his guidance changed the hands of time and biblical history. These complicated women, smothered in their own issues and problems and struggles, rose up despite the adversity with a double-edged sword in one hand and the issues of their families in the other. These women paved a way for all who would dare to follow in their tumultuous footsteps with a disclaimer in bold letters reading, "Buckle up your baby, because we are all in for a bumpy ride." Oh, yes. You are correct in thinking that these women were unconventional, but sin entering the world changed everything. So don't judge how these women made it through, for they are survivors, just like you, just like me. These Bible warriors screamed out to anyone that would listen, "I am woman, now hear me roar." Therefore, it is time to pay some respects to the women God used. The women God used is about humanity learning to let go of what they thought was going to happen and what they wanted when striving to take hold of a God-centered lifestyle in union with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is why Dovetails is delighted to have the adventurous author, teacher, and entrepreneur, Joy Lynn M. Ross, as our special guest this Memorial Day weekend. Joy Lynn M. Ross, writing as best-selling author E.N. Joy, is a native of Columbus, Ohio. After 13 years of being a paralegal in the insurance industry, Joy Lynn divorced her career and married her mistress and her passion, writing. In the year 2000, she formed her own publishing company, Underpass to Publishing. It is in this platform she teaches what she has learned in almost 20 years in the literary industry. She does so by instructing, writing, and publishing online courses, workshops, and webinars. This past summer of 2017, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, she packed up her five-level split, five-bedroom home, and moved to a three-bedroom apartment in Las Vegas, Nevada. Joy Lynn has big dreams and goals in growing her business, and she has stated that sometimes you have to downsize your lifestyle to supersize your business. This still fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada is where Joy Lynn is finally operating in her true gifts and talents. It is where she is being exactly who God told her she would be. In Las Vegas is where her dreams are growing and manifesting beyond anything she could have ever imagined. For her years as an author, literary agent, and editor in the literary industry has nothing to do with her, but it has everything to do with God's will for her and his people who she will serve. So sit back and relax while we unpack the tales and testimony of the heart of this servant, the risk taker, the dreamer, and the follower of the Holy Spirit, the lovely Joy Lynn M. Ross. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
Hi, this is Chef Yari from YariCooks.com, and you're listening to Dovetails with my favorite host, Deborah, on PJC Media.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah, right here on WPJC 104.5.
And welcome back to Dovetails as we celebrate Memorial Day weekend, honoring and thanking the many for their service to our country. It is under that service that God has supplied rest and protection from the wars which seem to always loom on yonder. So having a guest today who is all about serving God's people is quite fitting and exciting on this Sunday afternoon. Today, my co-host is the remarkably blessed selling author, writer, teacher and founder of Underpath to Publishing, a platform where she is truly operating in her true gifts and talents. So please, please, without further delay, help me welcome to Dovetails the lovely and splendid Joylynn M. Ross. Welcome, Joylynn.
Thank you so much, Deborah. Thank you for having me. Thank you for that introduction. Thank you for your book excerpt. I have just been blessed.
Folks,
we haven't even gotten started yet.
Folks, can you see why I have her on this program? I mean, that personality is so infectious. I absolutely adore you. I knew Joylynn. We encountered each other over a year ago and through LinkedIn, and just I thank God for LinkedIn, I have to say, but being able to connect with you and just getting a sense of your spirit is so powerful. You have such a vision, and you really focus in on what the Lord is telling you to do. And what I loved about your testimony is that you really follow the Holy Spirit, which is so hard. Especially we're going to talk about today just how you even identified who the Holy Spirit is and how to be obedient. But I know that our listeners can get a glimpse and can glean some principles and glean from what it is that you have gone through and what God has brought you to. I know that they'll be able to learn something in their lives to take them with them for their week and just in their journey in general. So there is a movie that I saw called Vanilla Sky, and I mention this every weekend because it just, for me, it really encompasses what it is we're trying to do on this show. We are trying to leave the Lord's legacy. We are guided and grateful for what Christ did on the cross for us. This movie, when I saw it, there was a line in the movie that just stuck to my heart, and it said, "The sweet isn't as sweet without the bitter." And I bring this up because in the world we live in now, Joylynn, it's social media reigns. We're conditioned in this world to put our best foot forward. Mm-hmm. We're conditioned to always mm-hmm. look the part. We're conditioned, yes. Regardless of what it really is, we're just conditioned to always look like we're not going through anything. Let's just be frank. And the right. beauty, I believe, of us giving our testimony is that in order to see the sweet is sweet, we got to see the bitter. We have to see some of that. Other than that, it's just yes. an endless tale of Cinderella and Snow White and Sleeping Beauty. I mean, even in those tales, there was some adversity,
Absolutely. So, I totally agree with you. Yes.
It's true. So, the gorgeousness in this show, I really love starting at the beginning because our listeners can get an idea of how you think and where you came from and who was your family and what kind of family were you born into. So with that being said, my first question to you is, did you grow up in a family that acknowledged Jesus Christ?
Absolutely not. We celebrated his birthday every year on December 25th, but I had no idea.
I love it.
I'm just being realistic. We celebrated Jesus' birthday, and honestly, as a child, I had no idea that's what we were doing. I did not know that's what Christmas was about. I thought it was about Santa Claus and Rudolph and Charlie Brown specials, the little old tree, the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. That's what I thought Christmas was about. And again, I didn't understand that the significance of what December 25th, was. And I don't go into, was Jesus really born that day or what day was Jesus born? Darn it, he was born. Mm-hmm. Celebrate it any day you want to celebrate it. But growing up, I didn't have the grandmother who, took us to church and things of that nature. I didn't have the grandmother who prayed for me. Let me say out loud. Because with my family, it wasn't, growing up, it wasn't the I love you when you walk out the door, I love you when we end phone calls. Now that's where we are as a family. But that back in those days, I love you was the meal your grandma cooked. She may have never hugged you. She may have never said I love you. And, your mother may have never kissed you on the forehead and sent you off to school with that lunch and that brown paper bag. But you had that meal that night, and it meant I love you. So I want to just clarify when I say I didn't know whether I had praying grandmothers, that they never prayed for me out loud. But now, knowing the history of my family, my granny, my grandma, my gaga, my grandmother, I know beyond a doubt they had to be praying women to have endured the life that they endured. And you know what? That prayer didn't have to be out loud. It wasn't none of my business. It wasn't none of my business. But what I know is that somebody was praying.
I love you.
Either. Yeah.
Oh my! I mean, honestly, Joylynn, you. First of all, I have to say, you know, in the Bible, you know, there's many times. There's like, for instance, the book of Esther. The word God is actually not in that book. But when you understand who God is, you know God is papered all through that book. There ain't no way that those things could have happened in that with that woman, that the Lord could plant her where she needed to be to rescue the Jews at that time. And I love that you're saying that, because honestly, there's somebody listening today that is thinking, I never had that I love you. I never understood what Christmas was about, that it was really about the Christmas. I love it. You said Charlie Brown special. I love that. No, because actually, how funny. I grew up very similar to the Charlie Brown special. I mean, we never had a tree. But in my first book, I mentioned the Charlie Brown special because it was just iconic in my world, you know. So someone out there listening, that you didn't have all that, but boy, did you bring us back to the heart of it. You know, I find, especially in writing, you know, there's in movies, when you see that a meal is taking center attention, and, you know, how many different ways can you eat a meal? But many times in writing, many times in movies, the idea of having someone sitting down having a meal, it's really about something else. It's not actually about just the food. And I think you've eloquently brought that up, that you might not have had all those other things, but in the end of the day, you knew that it was equivalent to that, that you did feel loved. You did feel prayed over as God matured you in your own walk. You knew, wow, I did have that. I did have that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think people need to hear that. I think people need to understand that, that you might not have it the way that you see others getting it, but you do have it. I have to ask, because you have a personality that's bouncing off the walls right now, I think. It is absolutely, it's beautiful. It really is. Like, I do want to soak you up. How do you think your family and friends would describe you growing up?
Joy. Joy. That's what everybody says. Whoever named you hit the nail on the head. Whoever named you. But can I just be honest? Now it's real. For growing up, it wasn't real. It was, and I was pretending to be full of joy. But now I really am. I was really in a dark place. I was mad at the world. I was mad at life situations, at life circumstances, mad because I lived here, mad because I didn't live there, mad because this was going on in the family or that was going on in the family. I was so angry. But I knew how to turn the joy on. I knew how to be my name. Names are so important. They really, really are. You know, what's in a name? Everything. Everything. You just think about the Bible and how the name changes. There's so much in a name. But I knew how to, I knew what joy meant, and I knew how to be that happy centerpiece. I felt that even at a young age, whatever you brought into a room set the stage. It set the stage for that room. So you never knew what you were going to walk into if you lived in a home where there was domestic violence and domestic abuse. You never knew what you were going to walk into. You never know what sound was going to wake you at 3 a.m. in the morning. So if you could enter a situation and shift the atmosphere,
oh,
then I learned to do that. I learned to be fake. I learned to be phony. I learned to put on a mask at a young age, feeling that it was a matter of life and death, feeling that it was a matter of happiness. But then you reach that certain age where now I'm just mad and I don't care who knows it. You know, now I'm just mad. And I was in a dark, angry place because you hide it. Kids are so brilliant. Kids are so smart. Kids are so intelligent. They know how to, you know, play the roles. They know how to act or what to say when they want mommy and daddy to be happy. And I wanted everybody to be happy because I wasn't. And I think maybe I felt if everybody else is happy, then maybe I'll be happy too. But at that young age, you don't realize that being depressed, being mad, being angry, it's not because you're not happy. It's in spite of being happy. And so that is why I am so genuine and I fight and I struggle to stay in this space that is so genuine and that is so authentic. And I do it out of fear sometimes because I am so afraid of the dark. I am so afraid of the dark, and I don't mean turning the lights out at night. I mean in my head, in my mind, those mountains, those clouds that create darkness. And I'm afraid of that darkness, so I fight and I struggle to be joy, to be my name. But for this time, for it to be authentic, for it to be real, and I really do want this joy, this energy. I really do want it to spread and to be infectious. And I want it to be. Go ahead.
No, you're beautiful. I'm going to continue to say that throughout the program, so just bear with me as I just continue to say how gorgeous you are. But you know what? You are very authentic and genuine. I want to bring attention, you know, I want to go back to the names, you know, naming our children. But one thing I'd like to highlight is, you know, you said that you fight and struggle every day to stay in this faith. Anyone out there that you're listening, understand it takes a process. It takes time to grow into who you are becoming. God, we're conforming all our lives to the likeness of Christ. You're not going to get this in a 1-2-3-step program. It's not going to happen that way. It's a gradual process. Even when Christ in the Bible named Peter the rock, he had to grow into being the rock. He had to grow into that. He had to grow into that. So any of you out there that are struggling, that you're like, but I heard that I'm supposed to be, maybe someone spoke and poured something wonderful into your life and you're wrestling because you feel like you're not there yet. Believe me, step in line, because we're all not there yet. You're not the only one struggling with that. But it gives an opportunity for God, for you to have that personal relationship with the Lord, to cry out for wisdom, to cry out for the things that you need while you are conforming to his likeness. But I want to go back to the names because, you know, Joy Lynn, first of all, it's so funny that when you said it right away you know, how you think people would describe you would be Joy. Because right away when I knew your name was Joy Lynn, I'm like, boy, did they name her properly. I know that. But you said it, your own admission, you said it. You know, there's this tug of war. You know, a lot of times you find parents going with the trends of the time and they're mismatched. You know, they're almost doing that Brad and Angelina type of thing. You know, you're putting the names together. And before you know it, you know, I feel like children are growing up with these names that really are just a part of, you know, something that the parent liked at that moment. But are they timeless? Do they actually mean anything? Can we just hover on that for a moment? The significance of what you're naming your children, like, why do you think it's so important for parents to really think about that?
And I don't want to touch on what I know everybody touches upon. If it's an African-American name and someone sees it on a resume or, you know, we all touch upon that. Even when you have you have Asians who may come over and they'll change their name to Mary. You know, or things of that nature. Again, they want it to look good on the resume. They want it to look good on paper. But it's not about what that name is on paper. It's about what that name is to that individual's soul. And I'm not even going to say spirit. Spirit's a God thing. Soul is us. So when people say get out your feelings, they mean get out of your soul. That soul is all about us. And names do mean something. My daughter goes by her middle name because when I named her, I was going to go to law school. I love the law just as much as I love the written word. And I watched Law and Order. I mean, who doesn't watch Law and Order? You can't help but watch Law and Order. It comes on every channel all day.
But I love Law and Order.
The original Law and Order with Jill Hennessy. I don't know if anybody remembers Jill Hennessy was on Law and Order. And I was upset. And I said, I'm going to go to law school. I love Law and Order. Jill Hennessy is my favorite. I'm naming my daughter Hennessy. When I have a daughter, I'm naming her Hennessy. So I'm thinking it was related to the law. I don't drink, you know. I don't drink. I don't know liquors and all of that stuff. I researched Hennessy the way I wanted to spell it, and I knew it was a city in Oklahoma. I knew it derived from the Greek word. That's all I'm looking at. But then you realize once you put that name on your child, it's like a stripper name. I mean, you know, that's what people think of. They say, oh, stripper name, or that elders. When we, if we're in the grocery store and I call her name Hennessy, unless it's an elder or something or someone who knows their, you know, geography, they'll say, oh, that's a city in Oklahoma. How nice. Or, oh, that's Greek or how nice. But then you just have people will say, oh, my goodness, that's the name of a liquor or that's a stripper. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how I spelled it. That's just how they see it.
Yeah, that's what they associated it with.
That is how people see you. Yes. And so as my child grew up, and people began to associate her with what they wanted to associate with, you know, stripper name, liquor name. She immediately wanted to change and start going to the name Nicole. So as a child, especially in this generation, everything is still in a name. You know, sticks and stones might break my bones, but names will break your heart.
That's right.
And so all the names that can come along with the name, and even though I had, you know, I had this whole thing, I this and I that. If you notice, I keep saying I. Everything that was about me. I didn't stop and think, what shall this child be named? Who is she in God? What
Praise
would God
Lord.
Want me to name her? What is she going to be? It was all about me. And like you said, as parents, we're trying to do that whole bread and, you know, that whole thing, and we're mixing names. The last thing I want to do was mix her name with me and her father. I love her father. We're still married. We've been together 21 years. But I don't want her to be us. That's the last thing I want to do is put that on her. You need to be better than us. You need to be better than us. And I watched how when it was time to get diplomas or get degrees or get certificates and her name about to be called, you know, I knew she knew, oh, gosh, they're going to call my name.
Here we go.
The mumbles getting ready to start, the chitter. And we don't think about that. I had all these great intentions. I was going to be this attorney. I was going to have my own, you know, but I didn't stop for 1 minute to think about this child and what – it had to do with her, what the name meant to her and how it would be attached to her, you know, and things of that nature. So, you know, I don't think we realize that. And I just remember her sitting at the table one day and, you know, in kindergarten, you got to write your name 100 times or whatever. And I just remember her just throwing her pencil down on the table and said, who named me all these letters?
I love it. You know, oh my goodness, I love it.
Yes, and so even with me, with and everybody called me Joy, it's Joyland, but it was the joy. It was the joy, joy, joy. And so that just in my spirit and my soul, it was a God thing and it was a me thing. So I think we really have to take that into consideration. And I've had friends who have changed their names. They have changed their names to who God told them they were, you know, or even allowed their ancestors, not their ancestors, but their elders, to rename them.
And that's okay.
If that is something that is affecting you, whatever your name is, it's okay. We have all these nicknames, you know, killer, you know, and we're putting this on people, you know, boo-boo.
Yeah.
Do I really got to be named crap? Do I really got to be crap? I mean, if you really want to break down these names, I got to be boo-boo, I got to be crap.
And it's crazy because, yeah, it's crazy. But anyone out there, you're struggling and you're thinking, wow, you know, I don't like my name. Believe me, in the Bible, and I challenge you, read about Sarah, read about Abraham, read about God mm-hmm. changing their name. So, you know, really tap into that and see how no matter where you come from, whatever beginning environment that you're born into, believe me, God is not bound by any of that. But what
Absolutely.
He wants to hear from us is yes. Joy Lynn, everything
and celebrities
you
change
say,
their name all the time. Jamie Foxx, yeah. That's not even his real name. I mean, celebrities
yeah.
change their name all of the time. 50 Cent, he ended up going bankrupt, and that's all he had was 50 Cent. Watch your name, people. Watch your name.
I'm sure he never wanted just 50 Cent, right? I love that.
Right.
Joy Lynn, everything that you say just has a depth to it. It really, you know, it comes from a deep place. You have most certainly joy, but I know that, you know, even though that is part of the essence of you, it has to have come from a foundation, a sort of rock foundation. Part of building character has a lot to do with enduring struggle and adversity, especially in times of uncertainty. I know when I went through my divorce, it was just the beginning of my world turning upside down and just really not knowing where God wanted me placed, what I was doing, I emotionally just really lost it. And I was forced to acknowledge that I needed help, you know, which sometimes is a very difficult place for people to understand, to say that I just need help,
mm-hmm.
that I can't do it alone.
Yes.
For me, that was my aha moment. Talk to us about your aha moment. Just the moment where, you know, it wasn't about, you know, your parents or about what they taught you, but how you recognized God for yourself.
I love talking about my aha moment. And I believe that the greatest aha moment a person can ever have is when their life begins to make sense. And I'll never forget standing in this room filled of readers. It was just filled with readers. It was filled with guest authors. And I happened to be one of the feature authors, one of the guest authors. And, I mean, I was in the room with some heavy hitters, It was an event I was doing in Atlanta, an event that went on every year. It always sold out. And I was just honored to be a featured author among all of these, again, heavy hitters whose reputations preceded them to the point where when they were about to be introduced, the readers, everybody in the room already knew who they were. They would start mumbling and cheering and already clapping. The person didn't even hit the podium yet, but their reputation had preceded them. The names of their books, mind you, the name of the authors haven't even been spoken yet, but these readers just knew. So one author after the next, I'm shrinking in my seat. I don't even want to be a part of this anymore. I'm like, I am not worthy. Nobody knows who I am. Nobody's going to clap. Nobody's going to mumble. People are going to have the big question mark like the Riddler on their forehead. Like, who is that? So I was shrinking. And it was one of those things like a Laverne and Shirley sitcom. Do I shrink so low and I crawl out of the room and nobody sees me? You know, it was one of those moments. And I just remember even getting a little choked up, like, why did I agree to do this? I'm not, look, all of these, you know, authors. I'm not worthy to be among them. I felt so inferior. And I remember in that moment just saying a prayer to God. And I said, God, one day I just want to walk in the room and I want everybody to know who I am. And then I waited, and God's response was, me too.
And that's when
I had my aha moment. See, I started writing with the purpose. My why, I'll be honest, I'm transparent. My why was all about me. I wanted to be a famous author. I wanted to be a New York Times best-selling author. I wanted 1 million books sold, stamped on my covers. I wanted to sell out of books after every literary event. But then in that moment, when I'm sitting there practically begging, you know, begging and praying, they're saying a prayer, there's complaining, and then there's begging. You know, God knows it all. We can call it whatever we want, but he knows a complaint disguised as a prayer, and he knows begging described as a prayer. But I'm in, you know, I'm calling it a prayer when I'm begging God. I want people to know who I am. I want everybody to know who I am when I walk in the room. And he's just saying, me too. And I'm God. And I'm God.
Wow.
And I can't enter a room and everyone knows who I am and people discern my presence and people know of where their gifts and their talents and their skills and their wisdom and their knowledge has come from. And in that moment, I said, this was never about me being a famous author. I was never supposed to be writing to become a famous author. I was supposed to be writing to make God famous. It wasn't about having 1 million copies sold, stamped on my book for the world to see, but it was to have 1 million souls saved for the kingdom to experience and celebrate and honor with joy. It wasn't about selling out of books after every literary event. It was about making sure after every reader read my book, they were sold out on Christ. And it wasn't about being a best-selling author. It was about being a blessed-selling author.
Praise you, Jesus.
And that's when everything started to make sense. Everything. Because this literary journey, I always say it's no joyride. It is a journey. Path to publication, path to publishing, being an author, it's no joyride. It's a journey. And I'll be honest again. Well, I can stop saying it. I'm just honest, period. Anything I say is going to be truth and fact. If I had known that journey wasn't for me, I probably would have never published one book. What? God, really? I'm not going to make New York Times? Wait, the person I ghostwrite for is going to make New York Times, but I'm not going to make New York Times? Wait a minute, I'm going to put out this many books and this isn't going to happen and that isn't going to happen. But in the midst of this journey, I'm working all aspects of the literary industry. I'm a literary agent, getting clients book deals with Simon and Schuster and Kensington and Urban Books, to name a few. I'm an editor. I'm an acquisitions editor for publishing houses. I'm freelance editing. I'm doing literary consulting. I'm writing. I'm doing all of this, and none of this was for what? Let me speak French, because maybe I'm not getting it anymore. This was for me to now teach other people how to tell their stories, how to share their thoughts, their ideas, their concepts, their testimonies. So we all have a portion inside of us that belongs to someone else. But so many of us do not know where to even start in sharing that portion. So because people don't know where to start with giving the message they have inside of them, they take it to their grave. And guess what? We starve. We starve because somebody has our portion. And it's not that maybe they don't want to share it and feed us. They don't know how to start. So God said, you're going to show them how to start and how to finish. You're not pointing nobody in the right direction. You're taking them to their final destination. And I remember when I first got saved, my pastor asked me, what did God tell you you're going to be? And I said, teacher. I didn't stop. I didn't, you know, I didn't have to think about it. I said, teacher. And, of course, it scared me because I'm thinking a Bible study teacher, a Sunday school teacher. I can't remember a scripture to save my life, so we're all going to hell. You know, I'm just like, I'm running already from what God has called me to be, a teacher. And so now when he said it's time to put the pen down and pick up the spotlight, because now you've got to shine it on other people. Other people have stories and messages, and it doesn't just come in a form of a book. It may be a workbook. It may be a journal. It may be a planner. It may be a book of quotes. It may be a how-to manual that's 10 pages, but it's somebody else's portion. It's going to show somebody else how to do something. All of these things that are inside of my people are for someone else to alter, to change, and to save life. Because, see, sometimes we play with God. Sometimes we play with God. We play with Jesus. We play with the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, it is a matter of life and death to know who you are, to know your purpose, to know your why. And I had to go back and change my why. I had to rethink my why. And everybody says, now, what is your why? What is your why? My why was all about me and I. So sometimes you may have to revisit your why. Sometimes you may have to peel the layers of your why until you get to somebody else besides I and me.
Oh my goodness.
That is what I had to do. That was the greatest aha moment ever, when my life began to make sense. And part of my journey, part of my mission, part of my assignment is to make sure that those who God sends my way to help get their portion out, that they know their purpose, that they know what their vision is, what their mission is, what that final destination is, and that it makes sense to them. It's always more than a book. You know, it's always more than an e-book. It's always more than a workbook, a planner, or what have you. There's something else that's just a tool. That's just a resource. God wants you. God wants you. And see, a lot of people think that the devil wants them. You know, and I always say, don't flatter yourself. The devil doesn't want you. The devil doesn't want to kill, steal, and destroy you. He wants what's inside of you.
He wants what you will become. He wants who you're going to influence.
Yes.
If you stay on course,
right there,
who will you influence?
The devil could care less. Couldn't care less, rather. He wants what's inside of you, but so does God. But so does God. And so I see the big picture now, and I get so passionate about it, and people think she's doing all this about a book. It's not about a book. You know, it's so much more than a book, you know. But until people actually work with me and experience it, then they'll get it then.
No, you have a beautiful gift of exhortation. The things that you just expressed were so powerful because it lets people understand that we have to invest on the inside of us. We have to invest on what those seeds that have already been planted on the inside of us. And the way that you just expressed, I mean, it's funny, you know, I've heard many aha moments. I've heard many times people express what it is that brought them closer to the Lord or gave them that realization that they are to be really the things that they're learning and going through to impart that to others. But your story, you know, of God actually speaking to you anthropomorphically, really, like really speaking to you in that manner, like you want to be known, so do I. Like, you know, this very simple, right? Like so simple, like, wow, yeah. I never thought of it that way. Like he's God and he's not even known like that. So I love anyone out there, you're listening. That is the question of the day. What is your why? Why do you do the things that you do? What's your motive? What's your intention? Like, what are you striving to do whenever you meet someone? Is it always about manipulating and being strategic to somehow get something from them so you can promote self? And keep that in mind as we go through unpacking this wonderful woman of God's testimony. Again, we are interviewing Joylynn M. Ross under the pen name of E.N. Joy. She is the founder of Underpath to Publishing, which serves as an umbrella to all she has learned in the past 20 years in the literary world. She does so by instructing, writing, and publishing online courses, workshops, and webinars. As we interview her, check out her website at www.pathtopublishing.com. And before we go to a break, I'd just like to say again, in the beginning of this conversation, in the beginning of this show, we talked about names, and Joy said she really thought if everyone was happy that she would be happy, and she was speaking about that in the context of her name. But I want you to really keep those things in mind as we go and journey throughout this show, because God is taking this name of Joy. God is taking who it is that she is. And now that he has changed her understanding of her why, watch this joy just be doused on others. Watch what God is teaching her throughout this journey, how it's going to be doused and showered over others to encourage them to find their destiny and fulfill their purpose. Stick around with us. We have more to come with this amazing woman of God. We will be right back.
Let's get cooking. Yari Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials, and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on yaticooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at yaticooks.com. Let's get cooking.
This is Catherine Bees, author and founder of Defend the Faith Ministry, and you're listening to Dovetails with Deborah right here on PJC Media.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to the Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
Good afternoon, and you are back with us at Dovetails. We are interviewing this tremendous, joyful, intelligent, and wise Joy Lynn M. Ross. She is an author, published titles such as Please Tell Me If the Grass is Greener. I love that. Christian fiction titled Me, Myself, and Him, and children's fiction titled The Secret Olivia Told Me, a body of work which received the American Library Association's honorary Coretta Scott King Award. Joy Lynn also will be teaching over 200 authors how to build their book business later this year at the Act Like an Author, Think Like a Business conference. We are blessed, I'm going to say, to have her here on Dovetails this Sunday afternoon. Joy Lynn, you went into so many wonderful things before we went into break. And I wanted to talk about just, it's amazing what depression can do and what things can be discovered with God. You talked about just you having that prayer to him saying, oh my goodness, I'm shrinking back because there's so many people here that are already famous. Who am I? And you had this silent prayer to the Lord. Not that you were depressed, but it was just that feeling of doubt and sort of like, well, who am I amongst all these people? I remember when I went through just my stages, Holy Spirit told me one time, if you will, I will. Meaning if I will match whatever you decide to walk out in your Christian walk. I am a firm believer that what we do to get God is what we have to do to keep him and continue keeping him at center in our life, that it's always a process, just as you spoke about previously. I wanted to talk about why it's so important for us to be honest with ourselves, because the reason is because God said to you, me too. But a lot of people would hear that and just discard it, right? They don't let it go deep enough to actually create a change. So why do you feel like it's important? It's, you know, yeah, we hear so many things in the world. Why aren't people listening? Why hasn't change begun? So why is it important for us to be honest with ourselves in our process of salvation?
It's so important, and I've said before, you know, it's bad to lie. It's bad to lie to yourself. it's even worse when you begin to believe the lies. Because then you're walking in falsehood. You're walking in this falsehood. You're walking in perception. You know, a lot of times now, you know, in the business world, we're all always talking about branding, building this brand, creating this brand. And it's I love it. I get it. I do it. But I try to more so be a brand. Be a brand, not have to build and not have to create, because I did that. I followed all of the gurus. I watched all the webinars. I took all the courses, hired the coaches, hired the consultants, and I felt like a Stepford wife. Don't talk about this. Don't talk about that. Do this. Do that. When I go back and look at my videos, when I first start doing my videos and my live shares, I don't know who that person was. I was so contained. I was almost, you know, not to keep bringing Charlie Brown up again, but the wah, 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 wah. You know, I was that person. I was moving this way. I was speaking this way. And it absolutely wasn't me. And it was hard doing it. Every time I had to do an interview or every time I was going to go live or do a video, I had to prep myself. I had to read my script. Sometimes I had to reread my own bio. Okay, who am I again? Who did I brand myself again? And I said, you know what?
I love that.
You know what? You know, with all these coaches and consultants and gurus and experts, with all the things they tell you to do, the easiest thing you can do is just be you. To not build a brand, to not create a brand, but to be a brand, to be exactly who you say you are. Because take it from me, trying to be who you want people to think you are is exhausting, and it is a lie.
Yeah.
And then when you really get that relationship with people, when you really begin to connect, they don't recognize you. They don't recognize you. So if you put something out there, you have to continue to walk in that falsehood, or then people don't even recognize you, and you don't recognize yourself. And that was my thing. I didn't recognize who that person was in the video. I don't want to be like the person who goes and they get to speak at Women's Day for a ministry, and they invite all of their family and friends and their husband, and they get up there behind that podium in the pulpit, and they start speaking, and nobody, their friends and family's like, who's that? You know? Who is that person? You know?
You have to be you.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to say the most flattering. The most flattering thing that the most flattering compliment somebody can get is when a family member, or at least maybe someone that's close to you, sees you on an interview and says, wow, that's Joy Lynn. That's the Joy Lynn I know. The worst is that, like, who is that? Like, you know, she's acting like, you know, somebody else, right?
Where the people who are supposed to know you are surprised, you know, are shocked because you're not being authentic. You aren't who you say you are. And what I learned, you know, we create these, we want our reputation to precede us. Like I prayed with God, I want my reputation to precede me. And then God let me know, okay, you know, for your, you know, it may make you feel good for a moment that your reputation precedes you, but what I care about is that your character follows you.
Oh, my.
So for anyone out there who's
so
in that position where I was.
Can you stop being so fabulous? Wait, I just need to interject really quick, you know, that many of us, you know, what's so sad is that the adversary in this world is trying to change the image that you were already born in. You know, Joy Lynn talked about branding. There's someone out there, you're listening right now, and you're looking at every magazine, and you're looking at and you're pointing out features, and you're pointing out jobs, and you're pointing out where homes that you wish you lived in, and friends you wish you had. And what happens is you're allowing the adversary to change the image that you were already born in. If we're talking about branded, you've already been branded. You've already been branded because you're already created in His image. And what God and what Joy Lynn is saying right now is walk that out. You know, I love what you're saying, Joy Lynn, because I know when I first came to Christ, I remember being very trepidatious that somehow getting closer to God was going to make me unrecognizable to myself, that somehow I was going to lose who I was. But in reality, folks, that is just a lie. because God makes you more of yourself. So if you just start to walk in the, in how he created you, I'm telling you, you hear Joy Lynn already. This is her. This is what he created her to be. And she's living and dwelling in that. That's the difference. That's how you know it's you, because she talked earlier about masks, having to put a mask on for this person, having to go to work and do a mask here. And you know what? I forgot that I told this lie over here, so I got to put that mask on. And I did this and had to say that. Before you know it, you are unrecognizable to yourself. Take those notes to heart. Take those notes to heart and start to make subtle changes in your life of refusing to be what you are not. Just refuse that and adopt, as they say, put on the clothes of Christ, put on his clothes, put on him and walk in what he made you to be. Oh, I love that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I wanted to, you are on a roll, Sweet Pea, and we're coming, you know, we have like probably 20 more minutes on our show. So I want to get all these nooks and crannies in, because your testimony, you have a lot of layers and underbelly to the things that you've learned. You know, you've been in the business for so long, and just there's so many things that the Lord has taught you by interaction and working with individuals. I want to talk about like-mindedness. That in the Bible, Paul, right after his conversion, it said immediately after, the next verse in the Bible, it said that he went and he fellowshipped and he communed with the disciples. Talk to us why it's so important after one has a revelation that, you know what, I need God in my life, and they accept with their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Talk about why it's so important to align ourselves with the like-minded individuals.
It's so important because, again, there's the accountability factor as well. And sometimes, especially when you're a babe in Christ, you don't know. You don't know how to, you know, take the next step. It's what the next step after, you know, after the altar. Now what? Who is going to be that tribe? Who is going to be that community, you know, that takes you in, that you can watch and walk with? And not everybody will be on the same playing field. Not everybody will be on the same level. But that's just how it is with anything in life. So I can't imagine not having a background in knowing who Jesus Christ was. I had no idea who Jesus Christ was. When I met Jesus Christ, I was living with my now husband. And, you know, we weren't married. We were living together. We were shacking up, call it what you want. And we already had a child. And as I, you know, I went to church and fell in love with another man. Basically, that's what happened. I went to church and I fell in love with another man. It's like, now how do I go home and tell my man that I fell in love with the man? You know, it's not a matter of choosing. you know, it's not a matter of choosing, because I feared the Lord. And people, you know, would say, you know, because I changed some things again. Let me just be real. You know, I got on the dance ministry. I had to present my body, you know, as a living sacrifice. So how could I present my body as a living sacrifice on Sunday morning and minister before the congregation and the people when I was just laid up with you Saturday night? So the fear of the Lord, you know, it was embedded in me. And so I cut it off. I cut it off, buddy. There's no this, there's no that, no this or that either, because that's considered sex too, you know, because I'm learning. I'm this babe in Christ, and I have people teaching me in my now new community and my like-minded community, because in the tribe I was before, hey, we're all shacking up. Nobody's married. Everybody's got a buffet. So that was my reality, and that was okay. It's kind of like you don't know you're poor when you're little until you meet the rich kid, you know? You don't know you were poor because that was your surrounding. So I didn't realize that was unaccepting God's eyes. I did not realize that. So I shut it down. I shut it down, and people would say, aren't you afraid you're going to lose your man? Aren't you afraid? I said, no, I'm more afraid of God. I'm more afraid of losing him in my life. And we had been together 9 years, and I tried to, you know, I tried to negotiate with God. You know, we all do it. Like, God, you know,
yes, we do.
We already got a kid. We've been together 9 years. And just, you know, God just says, get one of your, you know, your new like-minded elders or someone in the church and just ask them to point out where I made the exception, that it's okay to shack up, it's okay to do this and that and the other, just because you've been together 9 years or you already have a child. So God wasn't going for it.
And you know what, folks? You're listening to Joy Lynn. I'm telling you, she is being candid and she is being transparent. We can say are so much that we love the Lord, but we make mistakes. I don't care who you are. You could be a Hollywood actress, and you could be somebody in the Bible, and you could be somebody walking in the generation that we walk in now. We are going to make mistakes because we are in this body. We are in this flesh. We have cravings. We have desires. And what happens is, God knows, one thing that's consistent is God knows that we are fallible. He knows that we're going to make mistakes. But what happens is every decision you make that you know, like you already, you know, understand the temptations that the desires that you have so that you can prepare in advance for them. That's, you know, that's the only way around certain things. You have to know and identify what your desires are and what your temptations are so that you can prepare. But make no mistake, you are going to make mistakes. Understand that about yourself. But you have to realign yourself. That's why in John 15:4 he says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Did you hear? Even though Joy Lynn tried to negotiate with God, God says, if you remain in me, I'm going to remain in you. But God in us is more powerful than the world. It is he in me that's greater than the world. We know that scripture. That's what. So even though she's trying to negotiate, we have that material and non-material conflict that's constantly going on inside of us. Our non-material is us being made in the spirit. Our material is our flesh. And so it's constantly bouncing off the walls of one another. But her material side was like, I want that man. I want that man.
Yeah.
And God's saying, you know what? Read that word. Put on the loin belt of truth. Take that sword out. Start cutting it down. And so you're going to have the tug of war. Don't beat yourself up, but talk to the Lord enough to lend weight to making good decisions, good godly decisions, and then being around good godly counsel. There's the difference. Rather than, you know what, Lord, I already messed up. Let me hang out with my girlfriend that I know is sleeping with a married man.
Right.
And we just going to go to the bar. That's how you're making poor decisions. And you're letting, here you are coming into agreement with sin. Here you are with, you know, sin is rebelliousness against God. Living a life of lawlessness. Living a life of no restraint. We were born with a conscience. We were born understanding that, you know what, Holy Spirit, here's the conviction. Here's us grieving the Holy Spirit. So keep those things in mind as you're listening to Joy Lynn talk about it. She's being transparent and honest. She's not sitting up here saying, I never made a mistake. I told you I was a Christian. I'm perfect. I've made every perfect decision. She's telling you the real deal, because many of us out there struggle with the exact same thing. But the point is,
absolutely.
Just because we sin doesn't mean, oh, since God knows I'm going to sin, I can keep on sinning. No. Renew your mind, as Paul says it. Renew your mind. And don't conform with the things of the world, but be renewed by God. Be renewed by the Holy Spirit. I love it.
Absolutely. And that's what I try to, you know, it's not what I try to do. It's what I do. When I'm penning my book, and everybody knows I have a ghostwriter. I always tell people, I have a ghostwriter. I sit down at my computer and I take dictation from my ghostwriter, which is the Holy Ghost. And so I'm putting that information in that book, and I'm not writing about what the life of a Christian should be. I don't write about that. I write about what the life of a Christian is. And it's not perfect. We are flawed beings. We have struggles. Again, we negotiate with God. We get angry with God. Some people even just disrespect God. I wrote a book where the character basically has an on again off again relationship with God, like it's an on again off again boyfriend. She gets upset. She gets mad. She blames God. You know, and it's just it's such a level of disrespect. And I had readers just tell me, oh, I could hardly stand that book, the way, you know, she treated God, the way she disrespected God. And I said, trust me, I've heard Christians do it in the pulpit. I've heard Christians do it in the altar. I've heard Christians do it when crying out. We are not perfect. We are flawed. We make mistakes. We even turn our backs on God to a degree, but he will never, ever turn his back on us. And so that's what I love about the stories God gives me to share with his people, the messages. It's about those struggles, but it's about deliverance. And it's about walking in the deliverance. Because a lot of times, let's just say smoking. You know, God help me stop smoking. So you get delivered. You know, you do whatever you do. Sometimes, you know, people say it don't take all that. But if you got to run, if you ran around the church 10 times, if you went fell out at the altar, you laid there for the entire service, if the altar workers had to bring you a bag to throw up in, whatever it took. If it took fasting, if it took prayer, whatever it took for you.
You're a mess.
You know, if God says you are delivered, you are delivered. So you haven't touched a cigarette in 5 years, and then in year six, you've smoked the cigarette. And now you're like, oh, gosh, I'm no longer delivered. Thought I was delivered. Like, let me tell you this right now. Anybody listening, whatever you may be struggling with, even if it's, you know, you're unwed and you're living, you know, it's fornication, it's drug addiction, whatever that thing is you want to be delivered with, from anger. You know, depression, whatever that is. And even let me just stop with depression real quick. Know that God gives us resources, and sometimes your resources may be a prescription and a couch. I'm just going to leave it there, and I'm going to keep on going what I'm talking about. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Your help may come in many forms. It may come in the form of a prescription. It may come in the form of a couch, speaking with a therapist, with a counselor. It may come in the form of fasting. It may come in the form of praying. Don't look at the next person and try to do what worked for them. It may not work for you. You have to be tuned in. You have to be tuned in to know what is your resource. What is God telling you that you need for you? So we have to stop looking at the next person and what it took for them to get through something. Because
Amen.
It makes it something different for you. We have this tendency to look at the next person and see how well they're doing. And, you know, well, they're walking in their deliverance. You don't know what that person went through. And you don't know how long they've been going through it. Stop comparing your planting season to somebody else's harvest season.
Oh.
Focus on you and your deliverance. And know that, okay, you may be slipped up. You had that cigarette. You are still delivered. We just got to now walk in it. And, again, it goes
That's
back
right.
to being connected with those like-minded individuals. Who can help you walk this thing out? It ain't the girlfriend who's going to want you. Well, you done smoked the cigarette now, girl. Let's go to the corner store and have more. No. It's that person
yes.
who reminds you that who can undo what God has done?
Praise
if
the
God
Lord.
Has delivered you from a thing. How dare you think? Anyone
Praise
has the power to undo that thing. How dare you? You just have to walk in it.
Yes.
You just have to walk. When God does a thing, it is already done. When God said, let there be light, we didn't wait on light. There was light. It's
Praise
done.
To Jesus.
It's done.
Oh, my goodness.
You just
I mean,
have to
I
walk
have the
in
tingle.
It.
Yes. Oh, I'm telling you, you're a powerful speaker, a powerful woman of God. You have such zeal and zest. I have to just mention again, folks, that, you know, we can see Joylynn M. Ross again. She's going to be teaching 200 authors how to build their book business later this year at the Act Like an Author, Think Like a Business conference. Check out her website at www.pathtopublishing.com. Joylynn, we have a couple minutes left on our program. Talk to us about Under Path to Publishing.
Okay, well, Path to Publishing, that is, you know, it's my calling. It's me doing what I'm doing, what I've been called to do. It's me being a teacher, and I'm instructing authors. Whatever that message, that thought, that idea, that concept, that testimony is, how to get it out, how to do it in a spirit of excellence. how to not just get it out there in the public in print or in audio, but how to get it out of their spirit, out of their soul, so that they can share that portion. So I'm teaching them how to build these books. I've worked with and I've worked for major publishing houses, so I know every single step that they take for the success of their author's book and their author. So I am now teaching authors how to do that. I'm teaching authors how to turn their book business and their book hustle, rather, into a business. Because we always hear people, I'm hustling these books. And I did that. You know, I still do that. You know, hustle doesn't have a bad connotation to it when you're hustling a plan. When you're hustling a plan, but when you're just doing things guerrilla style, you're out there, you can't measure what's working and what's not working. So I teach authors how, now you have this book, now you have this product there, let's turn it into a business. Let's make sure you're operating by man's laws as well. Do you have your tax ID? Are you filing your taxes? Do you have your private policy statements on your website? Do you have your disclaimers? What should you be writing off on your taxes? How can you get the most of this? We go through this thing right down to the wheel, right down to having a literary executor who is going to take care of this book business when you have passed. Tomorrow is not promised. I live here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I just moved here last year, hadn't been here a couple of months when October 1st came, and I said, you know what, forget about tomorrow not being promised. Tonight wasn't promised for so many people. So I want people to do things in excellence, and I want them to do it right. I want authors to know that it's about more than just writing, selling, publishing and selling a book. It's about turning this into a legacy. It's about creating generational wealth or even a supplemental income. And I teach them how to create multiple streams of income with that testimony, with that message. Now, a lot of people will come to me and, you know, I really don't want to, you know, I have to sell. I'm not a salesperson. God just gave me this story, or God told me to write this book. God knows that it takes money to move a message, okay? It takes money to move a message. This is something you have to labor over, and you want to reap the fruits of your labor. And if you want to continue to deliver that message God gave you, you have to create the income that is going to allow you to do it. It costs money to get on these trains, planes, automobiles, or catch the bus, or even walk. You need shoes. So we can't be afraid to create wealth with our testimony, with our story. We can't be afraid of that. And so that's what I teach, how to build that book, how to build that book business, and how to create multiple streams of income so that you can sustain that business. People, we have something inside of us. Our intellectual property is priceless. But again, we have to put a price tag on it if we want to move that message. I'm not that author who is going to say, as long as my book reaches one person, as long as my message reaches one person and saves one life. Now, let me tell you this. I'll be grateful. I'll be grateful for that one person. But let me tell you, Jesus did not bleed and die for one soul, for one person. He did it for the multitude. So if God gives you something, yes, be grateful. Be grateful if it reaches that one person, if it touches that one person, if it changes that one person, if it saves that one person's life. But your work is not done. Your work is not done. And we have to get over that. It sounds good. As long as I reach one person, it sounds good. I used to say it. But then I realized, oh, no. God gave me something. And I wanted to reach the masses. I wanted to reach the masses. And so that's, a lot of people, like I say, it's just business to them, but this is a ministry. This is my assignment. This is my assignment. I am being who God called me to be, a teacher. I'm walking in this thing.
I know you are. I feel so proud of you, and I feel so proud to just know you and to see all the gorgeousness that God has stored up inside of you that is pouring. We're talking pouring and running out. folks, we're at the end of our program, but I just need to thank Joylynn M. Ross personally. I just pray for nothing but favor on her ministry and her mind. I'm just so thankful that she was here on Dovetailed, and we have to have you back for a follow-up show. We need to have you back.
Yes.
Folks, please reach out to Joylynn on social media. Check out her website at www.PathToPublishing.com. And again, her company is called Path to Publishing. I think I was saying it wrong, but Path to Publishing. So please check her out. I'd love to end this program with just reading a short entry from an annual devotional called Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence by Sarah Young. Seek my face at the beginning of your day. This practice enables you to put me on and wear me throughout the day. Most people put on clothes soon after arising from bed. Similarly, the sooner you put me on by communicating with me, the better prepared you are for whatever comes your way. To wear me is essentially to have my mind, to think my thoughts. Ask the Holy Spirit to control your thinking. Be transformed by this renewal within you. Thus, you are well equipped to face whatever people and situations I bring your way. Clothing your mind in me is your best preparation for each day. This discipline brings joy and peace to you and those around you. Until next time, please keep sharing your Dovetail, and God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. And to listen to this show and other shows, visit the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media or download Stitcher on your mobile device so you can tune in to next week for another Dovetails with Deborah.